Paul fell off of his horse, and that's how he had his experience on the Damascus Road.
Oh, fell off his horse and hit his head?
Yeah, fell off his horse and hit his head.
I heard he
on newscast, public newscast, when he brought that black man back from the East. He expounded what he was talking about. What he was doing is he was drawing a parallelism between this man whose plane fell and he got into certain circumstances, and Paul, who fell and got into certain circumstances. He did that parallelism. Just, you know, Paul fell off his horse and had this experience. So cool.
The one I always heard the rule said was it was a sunstroke.
Oh, well.
Paul had a sunstroke out in the desert. His whole behavior pattern changed.
Mm-hmm. No, this guy's got a new one. Not a sunstroke. Fell off his horse.
Saw stars when he whacked his head, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was the general idea, yeah.
You can call it a sunstroke if you throw it at the wind.
So much for theology.
Yeah, really. Well, someone told me, there's another one similar here, that they had a special on you several years ago, one of these docudrama things about the Apostle Paul or Peter or Paul or both of them or something. Yeah, I think it was George Ingalls told me. He said that heard that they have Paul was discouraged or something, and Peter came to him and said, you know, I can't remember which. Maybe it was Peter who's discouraged, and Paul said, well, come with me, we'll go down the street to a tavern I know, and so forth. And they went down and you know, drowned their sorrows in alcohol, you know. And just incredible, you know. He said he couldn't believe it.
They don't even use weight.
You imagine that. They probably found a reference to a tavern in the Bible, you know. That they,
probably the phrase.
Three taverns in the Bible.
Did Mark mention it?
Yes, somewhere in Acts 2.
Yeah, there is a reference to it. That word is used.
By Rome, that city called Three Taverns.
Huh?
Yeah. Rome, that city called
Three Taverns. Oh, yeah. That might have been it. It might have been the connection. Classic example there would be
Frenchman or anyone, Three Taverns.
Yeah, really.
Oh, my. Good reason to learn Greek and Hebrew grammar.
But if we hold the opinions we do, then we're bigoted, narrow-minded, and so forth.
That's
yeah. Okay, let's look at lesson 20 and finish this off here if we can. And I didn't assign any exercise, but we'll have to listen to the oral ones if we have time. We're dealing, of course, with the pronominal suffixes to indicate possession. We talked about the ones that go on the singulars yesterday, and the first part of the ones that go on the plurals. And I guess the major feature here to note is that with the heavy suffixes on these plural endings, we get a double reduction type of situation because of the adding of two syllables, the last of which has the stress. So it doesn't show up on sus because that's unchangeable long anyway, but on davar, we've got divarai for the first person suffix on the singular suffix on the plural noun. But on the last four forms, your second and third person plurals, you've got divrehem, divrehen, divrehen, divrehem, and divrehen. And you get lulashua because of the second reduction there of that comma. That comma's reduced to shua also because now it's in propertonic position. So double reduction is analogous to what constructs did very often, but you can't really equate it. And in every case, as we mentioned before. Now, we've gotten to this point with nouns with plurals in oath, add these same suffixes but directly to the plural ending without replacement. So on the ones that have oath plurals, you just make the plural and it has the oath on it. Then you just add these suffixes to that. Now, of course, adding these suffixes to that is going to generally result in this reduction again. Because you've added oath to it already, you get a reduction in the first place because you added oath. Remember, because your normal, you know, propertonic reduction for adding a plural. And now you get it. Now you're adding another syllable after that, at least another syllable, sometimes two. So that's going to mean another reduction again. These will all reduce as far as they can. So in general, the form that you see on an oath-type plural with the suffix will be the same as the construct form, just because it's shortened as much as it can be shortened. Okay? And I think you'll make a statement to that effect at the end of this section or something, because it's in here someplace. So now the plurals in Ohad, these names are directly the plural ending without replacement. So we've got the word Torah, the plural is plurals, and then the, adding the positional suffix is plurothai. These are both unchangeable long syllables, vowels, so there's not going to be any reductions on this one. We've got so torothai and torothika, so forth, and then even with a heavy suffix, there's nothing more can get reduced. So it's torothai-hem, torothai-hem, etc. Now look at the other one, though. With for barakah, which started out, the singular form had shawa, commas. And then the plural is going to be barakot, shawa, commas. Now notice what happens in the construct, because now what you've done, you had barakot in the plural. Now you're going to add another suffix onto that, another syllable. It's going to draw the accent. So now that commas is put in proprietonic position. So it's going to get shortened, and rule shawa is going to make it birkothai. Birkothai. And the net effect is to reduce the syllable, take a syllable out of the word. So birkothai, birkotheka, etc. And so that's the reason for this double shortening, you might say. Just because you've added now two suffixes, one to get the plural, the oath, and since you're keeping that, now adding another suffix onto that, effectively, all of these oath-type plurals are just like the heavy suffix plurals above, the yin plural that has a heavy suffix. They've got the same net effect. Two syllables being added to the word, the last of which has the stress. So it's going to result in all the shortening that you could shorten. Okay? Does everybody follow that? All right. The suffix ahem is occasionally replaced by av, as in avotam, instead of avotehem. So you'll see that as a variant form, a shorter form, instead of ahem. Okay, then a complete list of noun types under which all nouns used in this book are classified will be found in Appendix A. When in doubt about the behavior of a noun stem before the pronominal suffixes, the reader should locate the noun in the glossary and refer to the number indicated for the reference list. Okay, so you'll be very familiar with that Appendix A before this is all over with, because it's there are so many complications that it's just almost impossible to keep track of all of them, especially with the irregularity. So if you look in the back in your glossary, there'll be a number, a letter number after any significant nouns and so forth, that'll tell you what pattern to consult. To, for example, I'm just looking on page 321 here, and for the word for Yashin, to sleep, this is for verbs, says B6E, that'll give you the paradigm for the verb. See, all the different verb paradigms are given too, because it'll give you the three hays and the one yos and all the peculiarities thereof. But for nouns like Yeshua there, you've got A67. So that just tells you to go to A67 on your appendix. And so it's A67, and that would be on page 299. So you look at just number 67. Now, it'll probably give you a different noun there. See, we looked under Yeshua, it's got Tibua in the form here, but it's the same pair, the same form. So, in other words, it means it does the same thing as this one does. So you just substitute the consonants and you still have it. And here it gives you Tibua, then it gives you Tibua. What would that be? Construct singular form, right? And then it gives you Tibua Thi, and in other words, it gives you a suffix form, what the pronominal suffix would be like on it. And then it'll give you tabuo, the plural form, and then tabuo, the construct plural form. And that'll generally tell you what all the information you need to know as far as what reductions will occur and so forth. Okay, we'll get more familiar to using that as we go, but I'll try to point it out to you as we look at different words. And then Appendix B deals with verbs. So it's kind of a nice handy thing to have. A lot of textbooks don't have anything like that, so you have to do a lot of searching and groping to find the right paradigm. Remember which one, the information's usually in here someplace, but it's trying to remember which chapter it was and all the rest. This way you've got it all right there, so you can quickly look it up in the index and find out exactly what this paradigm does. Okay, was there a question?
I have a question.
Yeah,
I write. Well, I'm going to 288.
Right. Page 288.
Page 288.
Okay.
that's Millet.
What are, okay, it goes Millet, that's our dictionary form.
Right.
Okay, the next one is?
Construct form.
And what are these three ones?
Okay, that's with the pronominal suffixes. If you go back here on page 285, it'll tell you which, you know, gives you the pattern. You've got the absolute singular, the construct singular, and the singular with first-person singular suffix. And some of them will go even further than that if they just want to establish a pattern for you. So they went Malki, they went Malkita, and so forth. So they gave you a few more
they
forms.
They went outlined for you then.
Right, they just took a few more down the paradigm. And, of course, they put the Malkitim. You see, they did that to show you this has got a begat kafad in the end, and you don't get the short syllable and so forth. See, with the segaleths, they're oddballs as far as the shortening patterns are concerned. So there wouldn't be any way to predict what it does, so they go ahead and give you a little bit more. In other words, they give you the minimum amount of information needed to know the whole paradigm. If there happens to be an irregularity in it or something that doesn't show up in the first person form, they'll give you enough forms so you can see where the irregularity shows up.
And in the plural, they only give two.
Right. Yeah, because apparently in the plurals, you've got two categories, absolute plural and the construct plural. And then it looks like here they've given, they've gone ahead and put a suffix form on it, two underneath. So you've got Malakim, that's your plural form, and Malaki was your construct plural. Then underneath they put Malakai and Malakim. They gave you some examples of the plural with suffix, just to show you what happens there, too. Okay? So I was just trying to help you as much as possible as to where the irregularities are and so forth. And different words are going to have different peculiarities, so you may see more or less on the chart back here, depending on how much irregularity there exists. Okay. Now, he gives a quick list here. It says the following selection, I'm on page 89 now, the following selection of the most frequent plural types should prove adequate for most purposes. So he's giving you some of the most common types that you're going to run into, and for most purposes you'll see what you're looking for right here. So I think for these exercises right now, rather than go back to the back, you can just find a word, you know, just like it here, follow the same paradigm, and you'll be all right for now. Okay, I don't know if we need to go through all of these. Basically use the absolute plural and then the suffix with the first person singular suffix and the second person masculine plural suffix. So it can give you a light suffix and a heavy suffix, basically, which will make a difference on the een type plural. On the old plurals, it won't make any difference. They all do the same thing. So damim, for example, just look at the first one, damai, just a replacement of the een with the the serial of the construct form with the suffix, and then damekem for the heavy suffix on it, damekem. You get the shortening down to shawa there because now that's the appropriate time position. So all of them, the first section of these, all do the same thing basically. Banim, yamim, shanim, nashim. Nashim, let's see, that's the same. Amim, you've got the doubling of the name there, but that still doesn't affect too much. Although it's Amechem, you don't reduce all the way to Shua or Pasak even on that one. Okay, so that's the unique. Armim, Arai, Arechem. Page 78. There's several nouns with irregularities in the root in the plural construct, which we noted here. You've got Arim and Harim were the last two of those. And the construct, it was RA, where you would expect it, you know, had to pop up. So it just didn't happen. So that was being reflected here. And then when you put your suffixes on, so forth, it doesn't happen there either. Okay. Banot is the first oath plural they give, so that becomes Benotai and Benotekem. Toroth, of course, we already looked at that one. Milakoth, becomes mouth with eye. And that one's kind of unusual too. That was one of those where it says it goes back to the vowel that it had to start with. Those were covered, you know, they had to kind of search all the way through back here, find everything, put it together. Miss Wolf, Miss Wolf's eye, Miss Wolf Ann. Can't do too much of that one. Okay, so there's just a chart to be used as a reference to find out what happens with some of these forms, the unusual ones, and so forth. This is not easy, of course. It's not easy to remember all the factors that are involved. Okay, it says, note that the oath plurals have the same stem as the construct plural before all the suffixes, while een plurals have the construct plural stem only before hem, hen, hem, and hen. That's just a summary of what we just explained. Because of the fact that the oath plurals add the suffix to the oath, which results in a net adding of maybe two or three syllables to the word, it's going to get shortened as much as it can get. You're pushing the stress way off. And so they're always going to have what looks like a construct form, because the construct is the shortest the thing can get. So it has the shortest base it can get. On the other hand, with the een plurals, since you're replacing the een with the suffix, you got one less syllable on the een plural than you do with the oath plural. And so some of those, the ones with the heavy suffixes that have two syllables and the last one being stressed, they're going to do the same thing, have the shortest possible. The other ones will not be quite as short. So they won't have the construct base necessarily. Okay, then last statement here, or last section. A noun with a pronominal suffix is definite. Okay, so you don't need to have an article on a noun that's got a suffix on it. If it's got a pronominal suffix on it, it's automatically definite. Therefore, one, a modifying adjective has a definite article. Now, this is going to take a little getting used to. But, susi, hef kazak, my strong horse. Notice we have susi. It's not ha susi, ha kazak, but it's susi, hef kazak. You've got to have the article on the adjective to agree with the definiteness of this noun with a suffix on it. But once you put a pronominal suffix on it, it makes it automatically definite. And usually you can see why, I think. His or hers or something makes it automatically definite. In other words, his translates to the horse of him. And it's not a horse of him, but the horse. There's a particular horse you're talking about, it's his horse. And so there's an automatically definite idea when you put a pronominal suffix on that. And so you're indicating possession of a person, and that's making the thing definite. So you have to watch for that. So it's automatically definite, which means, of course, also that, I guess it's the next point. When it is the direct object of a verb, the preposed F is required. The preposed F is required. So you have to use F when it's got a pronominal suffix, even though there's no article on it. So, ra'iti F suso, I saw his horse. So it's not ra'iti suso, but ra'iti F suso, even though there's no article. Now, but when the noun refers to a part of the body, F is frequently omitted. So this is more of an idiomatic thing. If the noun is referring to a part of the body, his hand or his arm or something like this, it says the F is frequently omitted, not necessarily always frequent. So he puts forth his hand, shalach yado, he sent his hand. You can get by with it there, but I'm sure that's just a result of idiom. Probably expressed so often as frequently as something like that. Didn't use the F. I suppose maybe, I think it may be, I don't know if it's just a hunch, but it seems like it's hard to think of a part of your body receiving an action as if it's a separate entity, it's all connected, you know. So maybe that's part of the reason, I don't know. But suffice it to say, if it's referring to a part of your body, part of the body is frequently omitted. Okay, vocabulary then, for lesson 20. We've got hoots, meaning the outside, and we've got kutsa and ha-kutsa, to the outside, or outside words, that were outwards. And then there's another idiom, mifutsle, on the outside of, so it's literally from outside of, from outside to, or something from the outside of. So in English idiom, it's on the outside of. And then we've got kayo, meaning strength, or army, or wealth. quite a range of meanings there. Strength, army, or wealth, depending on the context of what it's associated with. So the plural is kayalim, and the so it's irregular, and in fact you might have expected kayalim here. We had bayit, and we had ayil, and some of these others, the ayya types that put the a in the plural, but I guess bias with batim, so I guess they're all kind of oddball. Then a very frequent in the phrase gibor chayil, a warrior, a fighter. So this might be, you know, mighty man of valor type of thing. Yeah, I think that may be what they translate it sometimes. Okay. Then mispar, number or enumeration, and an idiom, ein mispar le, are without number, innumerable. There is not a number to, especially there's not a number to this. There's no way to put a number on it. It's innumerable.
Is that le just sit there like that?
What is that?
Is that le just sit out there like that? Or is that
it's attached to something else.
It would be like
the following word.
In other words, it's par le anshin, men without
number. Right, exactly. Yeah, men without number would be, aim this par le anshin. There's not a number to the men. Okay? Yeah, that's probably the lid isn't just set out in space, it's attached to something. Whatever it is you're modifying. Now, from this idiom, this bar comes to be used alone in the sense of numerable, or a few. So, on Shay, this par, a few men, literally men of number. So, there's a number to the men. Okay. So, the idea is a few. But if there's still somebody you can't number, and then it's innumerable, and if a few is numberable, in other words, simply, you know, there's few enough of them so you can count them. Okay?
It's funny that they kind of preserve the distinction of one versus more than one. They're, you know, men of number.
Mm-hmm.
The number is not one.
Right.
You know, otherwise it would just say, you know, a man type of thing.
Well, there's another confirmation that one means absolute one.
Right. So I was thinking,
okay.
If ever there was a case for a collective one.
Really? Okay, Merkava means chariot. And Merkavot is the plural. Sus, horse, of course. Parash, meaning horseman or rider. And construct is parash, with the pata. Unusual, I suppose, in the sense that the first patak first comments didn't reduce to Shua. And Parashim, again, the same, first name doesn't reduce to Shua, so keep an eye out for that, remember that. Sava is an army or a host of soldiers or angels or celestial beings.
Sabaya.
What?
Like Sabaya.
Right, yeah, you've heard the term the Lord of Sabbath and Sabaoth, yeah, they give it down here for their. Also, in the frequent designations of God as Yahweh Tzivaot or Elohei Tzivaot. Okay. Then Ruach means breath, wind, or spirit, just like the Greek word pneuma. It's got quite a range of meaning: breath, wind, or spirit, and it's feminine gender. So, for those that think the Holy Spirit is a person, that's an interesting implication. Tur, meaning rock. We've heard of, in the Holy Revelation of God class, you know, you talk about Tur as a reference to God. Okay, and can be figuratively used for support or defense. To them, of course, a rock was something solid and something was a barrier that couldn't be even penetrated, and that type of thing.
It's funny because when you transliterate the Shurek just comes across as a U. We always say Tsur,
mm-hmm.
like Tsur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's more Tsur. Yeah, it's a long U sound. If it were a kibbutz, it would be more Tsur. But with the resh, you know, sometimes these vowel sounds change their quality a little bit depending on the consonant they follow, especially resh or something. It's almost got a kind of a mix between a vowel and a consonant sound. Okay. Kahal, assembly or congregation. Very frequently used for the congregation of Israel and so forth. Kir, meaning wall. adjectives, chadash, meaning new. and chazak, meaning strong, firm, or hard, and a verb rakav, to ride, like riding a horse and so forth. It's interesting, some of these words, you wonder what they use in modern Africa. I don't remember now. I looked at some of the words in the modern Hebrew dictionary and so forth to see what they would use. I was wondering if they'd use Merkava for automobile now or something. Use the old dictionary. apparently, I think they just used cognate. And the bus was only moose or something. You know, it was just drawn from European languages. But they put it in Hebrew script. Maybe the second year we can have some fun with that. We'll bring that book back. Okay, let's go ahead and do A and B here. I think we can at least make an attempt at these. And then we'll sign for tomorrow C and D. I guess that's a short exercise.
Sorry.
Mercy. So let's do C and D for tomorrow.
All right.
And let's take a stab at part A here.
We gotta get staggered here a little bit. Between the Greek and the
yeah, it's always
lemon.
Well,
uh-huh.
I know it.
We're the ones that get staggered.
Yeah. Stagger the lessons and stagger the students. Well, that brings up a question. When would be a good day for the vocab quiz?
Oh, next Wednesday, of course. Greek one.
We don't have one this weekend.
We can probably push it off to Friday if you want. Without any problem. It's just those, we'll be in several other chapters.
But it's an excellent day for vocab.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess we'll make it on Friday. So week from tomorrow. Friday?
Yeah,
week from tomorrow. The 27th vocab quiz. And we'll announce the grammar quiz.
That'll have to be.
Yeah, this will be 17 through 20.
Yeah.
So Friday.
I realize how many are on the Greek. It's over 70.
Over
100 of those?
Well, not counting your doubles for your knowing your genitive.
That is not a lot.
Not counting your genitive.
You've been multiplying.
No, this is some third declension, you know. I'll remember that. I'll always have to check, you know.
Yeah, he said it's my
job. I didn't really add them all up. But so what are you getting? You're getting about 40 words on the average for each one of these tests, aren't you?
Yeah.
Probably
more than that.
This is a lot more varied vocabulary.
Yeah.
Whereas the Greek, you've got a lot of words there, but they're all third declension, and they're all in certain categories. So,
I'm doing Hebrew in the fall when he
passed. I went through it too.
At least then he definitely
knows.
So, Mike, are you going to try and put your Hebrew grammar exam for the Friday after the Greek grammar exam?
It's getting kind of far down the road.
You remember?
Well, let's see. We'll talk about it. See, I've got a Greek test on that Wednesday, so I hate to have it on the same day as that. We can even start with putting it on Friday. The vocab on one Friday and the grammar next.
Put it off too far.
Because we do want to run
test and be ready for the next one.
Yeah. We'll be almost ready for the next one. That's it.
Every 3 days.
But we can review. What I'll do is I'll just hold a review until a couple days before the test, and I think we'll still be all right. We'll hope we'll get out of phase here with the Greek class for the next year.
Last semester
took longer. So.
Okay. I mean, you would expect that they would come out of phase because these books weren't written in cahoots with each other. And there's natural breaking points. You know, we've set up every four chapters in this one. The other one, I just kind of think that's where you covered a certain topic or area. Well, let's look at part A, number one. This one, it's got a spelling here, and I changed the form on that to Kolat, the second one. You may have put it on as effective form on purpose here, I don't know. Well, Doug, do what you can do with it. It's two separate words. It isn't a sentence. It's just two words there. Yeah, it's not a sentence.
Okay, the Hata.
Oh, that's number nine. Number one is the foul hole.
Got it. Right. Yeah. Right here. So God and Kala.
Yeah, Kala. Unless it's a defective form. And I don't think he's really intending to throw a defective form in here. You know, the defective form, sometimes in the text, you'll see something that had a whole mile have only a whole short form, usually for meter purposes and that type of thing. But I can't imagine that he would throw a defective form in here. I think I'm just guessing that it's a typo. Okay.
Okay, so it's your boy.
Right.
Matt holding her and her voice.
Right. Good. Your voice, masculine singular, and her voice, third person feminine singular. Okay, good. Number two, Jim?
Let's see. Satan is old.
Right. So, yeah, and if it's used as a noun here, you'd say old. An old person, you know, an elder even.
Okay, well, her elder and your elder.
Okay, but the her elder is plural.
Yeah.
Because you have this plural suffix. The only way we can tell oftentimes is by the suffix. But her elders and your masculine plural elder singular. Yeah. So the first one's plural, second one's singular. So her elders and your elder. Okay, number three, Tony. Shanim is the plural of Shana. Most feminine nouns in A have old plurals. This one has an im plural. Because of the im plural, that last hey drop, you know, is gone, so you don't get the tau in the construct, you know, before these suffixes. So that's what makes it look quite a bit different. So Shana Benu is our year, and Shanenu is our years. Okay, number four, Daniel.
Simchasi.
Mm-hmm.
And Simchosi.
Yeah, Simchosai.
Simchosai.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is
my joy, mm-hmm. and my joy.
Right, my joy, singular, and my joy, plural. Okay, good. And there's a pretty clear difference in the singular and the plural here, you understand. Okay, any questions on it? Okay. Number five, right.
Kiss the E and kiss the O. The my throne and his throne.
Right, my throne and his throne. Okay, good. Number six, Bill.
Number five, do you pronounce that short?
Let me think here. You've got a quiescent all up there. I guess you could, yeah, because it'd be kiss E and kiss O. That sounds a little bit. See, if they hear it, can you consider it short? Kiss A is the way it started out. Yeah, it's there, yeah.
Kiss O as well.
Was that the way we pronounced it? Did it have a vagation in there? Was this the one that had the vagation in the plural?
Yes.
Okay, that's the reason. So this would be, you know, without the dagesh, it would be kiss E and kiss O. You're right.
Why does it have the dagesh? Doesn't the singular have the dagesh also?
No. No, singular has the dagesh. The plural doesn't have one.
Oh, the plural doesn't have it. Okay, let's go back. I remember that in the screen.
That's true.
We'll better look at the front.
Page 19. Yeah, the singular doesn't have the dagesh. Yeah, but the plural doesn't.
Oh, okay. Singular has it, the plural doesn't. So it's kiss O. Right. See, in other words, if the plural had it, it would be kiss the O if the plural had it. But it doesn't. So it's kiss both, and these are also not having it.
Yeah. So why? Any reason
well,
why?
I guess see, they didn't give you the construct form, but I guess what you would have to do, maybe in the back of the book, maybe they give you the construct with no deviation also. I mean, this vocab we'll have to check here. Or they may just refer you back to this paradigm. It's A, no, this is anything about the construct. A41B, let's take a look and see what it does. Do a detective change here. Okay, well, the construct apparently doesn't, it continues to have it, but then when you put the pronominal suffix on, you lose it. So I guess what it looks like is anything that's got a suffix where you add another syllable on, they drop the dagesh out, unless they have another syllable. So
that's
what
we're shortening it in this case.
Yeah, in effect, yeah. But it certainly wouldn't be predictable. Nothing, no, you don't have to worry that. What's the rule that I forgot here? There isn't a rule. It's just an exception. So I guess we just have to, you know, you just have to guess. You really wouldn't know.
Recognition is easier.
Yeah. So it has the negation in the absolute and the construct thing. Put all the plural forms and anything with a suffix, and I will suffix it to the dagesh so that you move that syllable. Okay, good. I'm glad you noticed that. So, right, these are singular forms. Okay, number six. I said so, and I never got to. Okay. Oh, you want to skip it anyway? Go ahead, do it. Stars and your stars, masculine and plural. And here, of course, you see that comets reduced to Shawa before the heavy suffix. That was the main point to illustrate here. Okay. Okay, number seven, Bob.
His light.
Right. His light singular and his light plural. And really the only difference here, since the existing is unchangeable long, and since the neem plural, there isn't any difference between the plural and the singular.
So
except
what
for the suffix. Except for the suffix.
So how is that overall?
Yeah, overall is his light plural.
Oh,
and Oro is his light singular.
I'm missing a dot over my. Is that a colon bar on the end?
Not on the end, no. There's no dot on it. That's the suffix. So for the plural. Maybe we didn't really call attention to the whole pair down there. Two vowels there. So it's Thomas, Yol, Wow, and the Wow is just a consonant of Wow, and it's closing the syllable, it's ending the syllable. Okay.
Oh, and you're pronouncing it W.
Right. Some pronounce it Av too. Some for pronunciation traditions, and I think modern. I think that's one of the things a lot of people probably say is that they pronounce it Av today, you know, with Av.
So if you took it the other way, it'd be Orav with the D instead of Orav.
Orav. Yeah, Orav or Orav, I guess is what they usually do. But you always kind of get slid in if you don't. Orav, you can kind of, you know, get a more of a challenge down to it. I'd be curious to see. There might even be differences in pronunciation among the Jews on that. Sephardic versus Ashkenazic. Okay. But does everybody see why one of them is singular and one of them is plural? The suffix is different. It's the same suffix. I mean, it's the same. It's first third person masculine and singular suffix, but one's on a singular word and one's on a plural word. And because of this unchangeable long, you see, you don't see much difference in the singular plural, because it happens to be an im plural where the im drops off and the thing is replaced. And it also makes it. If it were an oath plural, then you'd have, you know, oral style or something like that. Then you'd be able to see the real thing. Okay, number eight, Eric.
Aduma Tefen. Aduma Dan.
Okay, just the Adma Tem. Adma Tem, those are both short, so both the schwas are both silent because of the fa-fa. So it's Adma Tem and Adma Dan. Okay, means?
Your ground,
Their ground. Yeah. Your ground and their ground. Your ground and their ground. The first one is singular. It's Admat. See, is the construct form for Admat. And then you just have Tem on it. See, the plurals will always have a Yod in there. If you can remember this, on those suffixes, this is one of the, you know, neatest things that I think, you know, to as far as remembering. All of your plural suffixes have a Yod in them. Every single one of them, regardless of all the other things, they've all got a Yod in them. So that's just one thing to, you know, quick, you know, for quick eye recognition. I've got a yod in it. Okay. All right. Now, unfortunately, though, there's one thing you have to be a little careful, because, like with susi and so forth, you've got a yod on that first person singular suffix on the singular too. But if you can just remember that I versus e on that one. Here versus Papa, yes, that's the only one to watch. But all the plurals have a yod. None of the singulars have a yod except in the first person singular subject. So that makes it, you know, real handy for me, eye recognition wise, to see what you're looking at. Okay, number nine, John.
Lahavka and Lahavkin.
Okay.
Your masculine singular gold and your masculine plural gold.
Okay, your masculine singular gold and your masculine plural gold, right. Okay, and now the plural is not the gold, it's the you.
Right.
So it's not your gold and so forth. Okay, and also the havaka, you have a vocal schwa there because the whole comma is for it. That's
the Hav Kim.
Right, and that's a silent schwa. That's the Hav Kim. Okay, number 10, let's see. Pete?
Kak Masu and Kak Masa.
Okay.
And let's see.
It's good. It's a Kamas Khatuf in the first syllable of both of them. So it's Kok. Kok Malo.
Yeah,
Kok Masa. Sneaks up on me. Okay.
His wisdom and her wisdom.
Right. His wisdom and her wisdom. Right. So just a suffix difference is all. Number 11, back over to Doug. Oh, no, wait. I'm sorry, Peter.
Mitzvot Tata. Mitzvot.
Okay. And it's what that happened.
I don't understand how to pronounce that first one.
You almost have to pronounce it like a seri, because what's happened is the goal is getting lengthened.
It gets, you know, what you end up doing.
It's hard to make a distinction between the goal yoles and the seri yoles. I suppose you could say mitzvotecha and maybe put a little more stress on the S, not just yeah, but yeah, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to get picky whether you go echa or echa.
That's his commandment and his commandment.
Right. Your commandments and your commandments.
Yeah, but it was masculine.
Right. Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah, it is masculine, but it's your masculine rather than his masculine. Okay. All right.
The person was commandment.
Right. Your commandments, plural, and your commandments, singular. I have a question on this second form here. Ms. Wapaka, why do we have a metheg on the comments?
Shows not a.
Right. Which shows that the shwa then is vocal or silent. The following.
Vocal.
And remember that it has to be vocal. In other words, this is the one that's considered as a part of the suffix. So it's always got to be vocal. And so if there's any ambiguity about it, they'll put a metheg there in the comments before it to make sure you know this is vocal. This is invariably vocal. The other one on that before that second person ending was sometimes vocal, sometimes silent, depending on what sin did. But the one on the second person masculine singular suffix is always vocal. Okay, number 12. Who did the last one, Doug? Doug, you're next then, right? Okay.
Yeshua.
Yeshua Ham. Good.
Okay. Our salvation. Your salvation.
Right. Our salvation and your salvation. Or our deliverance and your deliverance. Right. And both the deliverance or salvation is singular in both cases. And we have different suffixes in each case. First one is just a suffix that's not going to change the pattern there. The second one is a heavy suffix. In other words, we've got a light suffix and a heavy suffix. Who begins with a vowel sound, the fem begins with a consonant sound, and the fem is the one that gets the close syllable for it. So. Okay, number 13, Tim.
Nahara, Naharo, Naharothea.
Okay.
Her river and her rivers.
Right, yeah. Her river and her rivers. Notice on this particular one, you have quite a difference between the singular and plural forms. Because it's an old plural, so you get an extra syllable, and that forces another reduction. And this is why you're getting what you're getting here. Rule Shawa again. And, the question you could ask about this. Nehara, of course, you know, you sort the first comment, and no real problem there. But Naharotheha, you've got a suffix that's added on to another suffix. In other words, you have the old to make it plural, and you have the echa to make it phenomenal. And so you're shifting your stress quite a bit here, and when you put the oath on it, of course, that's going to result in a double reduction here, and now you get this double reduction pattern when you have the oath and then another suffix on top of that. You have the stress that stays with the stress is on the echa, so you've got it on the next syllable. So you have to do a double reduction because there's no way around it in any of these endings. And so you get the rule of Shawa there. Now, this one looks a little strange because what happens in the rule of Shawa? Well, we reduced the first, the original comment that was on the noon got reduced to Shawa. And now you have a reduction of the comments that was on the hay, but you can only reduce that to a kata pasak because it's guttural. And now the rule of Shua is going to say that the one before, instead of being Herik, will be the full vowel corresponding to the reduced vowel, so you get the Vada. It's a matter of reviewing all of these.
Like the construct.
Mm-hmm. Well, they, as far, yeah, they, when the construct results in, see, this is in fact the construct stem for the, right. This is the same as the construct plural.
Because the rule of Shua and
right.
If you just take the
Vada. Exactly. So this would be identical to the construct plural form if you just take the echa off, and it's construct plural. So that's a way to think of it. On these both plurals, if you can figure out how to make the construct plural, then just put the suffix on it. You got it. Okay. Now if it's not only helps the im plurals too, that'd be a better rule. But it doesn't hold for those, not all of them. It's the last four of them. Okay, number 14, Tony.
Mosi and Moso.
Right.
Moso.
Yeah, Moso, just a soft sound. Mm-hmm.
We have my death.
Right.
We have his death.
Right. My death and his death.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Daniel, number 15.
Shulchanecha. Shulchanech.
Right. Shulchan Echa and Shulchan Nek. Okay.
There's this, your table.
Mm-hmm.
Your masculine singular.
Mm-hmm.
And your table also.
Right.
Feminine
singular. Mm-hmm. Now, so your table in both cases, the first one's masculine singular, the second one's feminine singular. Okay. Well, this next one's a little harder. I gotta go the other direction. Okay, Bryce, you want to take a stab at the first one here? We'll just do them one at a time. That's probably all you can handle. So, your people, your masculine singular people.
I'm considering people singular group or plural?
Well, yeah, consider it a singular, use that collective word. And just use om, but it's a singular noun. Formally singular. So you use the singular forms of the suffixes.
So it would be
Amaka? Yeah. Amaka. Amaka, right. Amaka. Italian with Pasak, name with Dagesh. Put the Dagesh there. And that makes the Shua vocal. Amaka, Shua is the name, and then plus that's going to always be vocal in that first anyway. So Amaka. Okay, your tree. Bill?
Eitzaka,
right, Eitzaka. It's very safe on that one. Your birds, Opaka. Opaka. Okay. They're all singular nouns of the second person. Number two, your masculine plural song. Shirkan. It's got a vocal schwa because of the Yurikyo. Shirakan. Okay, your advice, John?
Atsapaka.
Right, Atsapaka. Or no, excuse me, Atsapkan. Oh no, I see, I guess it didn't really say there.
Whenever it doesn't say
what you're right. Right, okay. You got a point. I think he's going from masculine plural across the board. Oh, he okay. Started out masculine plural. Right. That's what I did anyway.
That's
not
him.
Right.
Okay.
But Atapika would be right for singular plural. That's the singular second person. So what do you want to... Well, I already told you.
Atapika.
Okay, your small cattle,
here,
a beef.
Zone camp?
Right, yeah, zone camp.
Zone camp.
Okay, number three, first one, my place is here.
Makomoti?
Okay, but it'd be I.
Makomoti.
Mikomothai, Shua on the first syllable, and then can't shorten anything out because it's pot up here. my place is plural. In my camps, Okay, go ahead and do C and D for tomorrow. So rapidly, it's so much fun. Yeah, he's starting to make it worth it. That's the thing. If we can get the student to make it to the second year, then you start to get, well, this is really worth the work. So now you're starting to.
By the end of the first year,
but there's no way to get to that point any other way. It's hard work, and when you get to the point, you've got something to do. And you got something you'll do the rest of your life. You'll forget that paradigm thing, but you'll know where to go to look them up. You're reading and so forth. You'll be able to find out what you're looking at.
And now you were modified from getting a little bit.
Okay.
So that
John, were you here these days?
Yeah.
Hold on,
George's
evaluation?
Yeah,
I
asked him to evaluate.
For me. Hey,
Gene, how much was you charging on these cases and things?
10 and 12. Most, for all of you guys in here, 10. Yeah. Any of them.
How much on the clothing bag that's right
there? Clothing, all those. Well, there was another
one. My wife one.
Oh.
Here we're going to need grace. Here we're going to need a lot of grace. And we're going to be put to the test.
I did get last night.
Who has
you can take care of it. You picked it last night.
10:30 last night.
My brother had a lot of grace.
All right.
With that same Proverbs 31, she goes out into the marketplace.
You should have took it home last night.
But we didn't know what to do with them.
Well, the thing of it is, it's all the honor system.
See you, Michael. Well, technically, you know, I mean,
right.
If we want to get real picky, he can probably pay for it faster than I can.
Well, I'm here with the phone to school. How about if I just take off one of the other ones?
So,
write your check and then.
Yes, if you translate it any way, you'd have it with you.
Okay.
Be better than cash, because I'm going to be really sad to be prepared, so and I would be able to cash him writing tonight. There's an actual phone. So if you could just pay me by Friday night, sure, you can take cash, if you will, if that's possible.
Okay, what I can do is
tomorrow.
I'll try to find it.
I think, and end it from the inside, and then it wouldn't show. If you'd use some real heavy blue tape or something right in there. You know, they run a risk of this happening trying to go through the airlines, too. They damage it sometimes, the airlines, too. So I don't know. It could have happened at the factory. It's never really been
so,
used.
So you think that...
But supposedly, or very little. But this is nice. You don't have to... You can pull it right down the hall. It's got the strap, doesn't it? And the original price is here on the end.
It's tough.
Somewhere it was. Maybe you took it. That, and I think that was marked down. So see, here was the original front.
I like this one.
I told him on that last time.